Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel once again. So in this video, looking briefly at the autumn budget statement in the United Kingdom. So it was announced the other day by the Chancellor Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt. Remember, it's just over a year since he saved the United Kingdom from financial Armageddon. Liz Truss sacked her own Chancellor Exchequer, Kwasi Kwarteng, brought Jeremy Hunt back, performed a complete vault farce, and he managed to save the day, but it only preserved Truss's premiership by about a week. To think that there was that Tory slogan, "In Liz we trust." Well, in Liz we did not trust for very long, and yet she's now impenitent, suggesting she had absolutely the right policies. Why did you then jettison them all then? But here we are. So inflation's come down. Remember in January this year, one of Sunak's pledges, he bring inflation down by half, about 10%, is about 4.5% now. So that's the only thing he's achieved. Stop the boats. Well, that's a very long way from even beginning. And incidentally, the United Kingdom's got record-breaking immigration figures, a net figure of 700,000 a year. Admittedly, some of it's because of the Ukraine war or the Hong Kong refugees and so on. Now, the UK counts international students amongst immigration figures, which, I mean, some academics say to me that's just plain wrong. Most other countries don't do it. Take away that, and that's like at least 100,000 people gone out of that statistic, because most of them come for their course for 2 or 3 years, whatever, and then leave. So it's not immigration. And I agree, it's not. But anyway, so lies, damn lies, and statistics. So Sunak has manifestly failed on that one. So as the economic situation was a little bit rosier, what's going to happen? Well, the conservative grassroots were clamoring for a tax cut. Well, they've not really got one. There's sort of even tax rises in some areas, but there's a cut to national insurance. So when you pay tax, pay as you earn or whatever, or self, you know, self-assessment if you're self-employed, some of that goes in national insurance. And you pay some in, your employer pays some in, and the government pays some in, and that is going to fund the pension pot in the end, universal credit, I think child benefits, stuff like that. So it's meant to be contributory. You have to contribute for, I think, a number of years to get the full state pension. If you've not contributed at all, I think you still get something. So the one thing about national insurance is for the entire United Kingdom. With this asymmetric devolution, it's very confusing. The Chancellor Exchequer, he controls some matters for the whole UK and some only for England, because taxes vary a bit in Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland. Scotland's got the greatest tax variation pursuant to the second question they were asked in that September 1997 referendum. Should there be a Scottish Parliament? And if so, should it have tax varying powers? And that's tax increasing powers. Of course, they could decrease tax, but they never do. All right. So coming back to the whole budget thing. So another point about national insurance is it kicks in from the very first penny you earn. Remember, in terms of income, about the first is £11,000 you earn are tax exempt. If you earn a very high salary over about 100 grand, you lose that personal allowance, that sort of 12 grand, which is tax exempt. And so obviously higher and higher rates, the more and more you're earning. But of course, the really rich people, they can hire the smartest lawyers and the most cunning accountants who will know what to do, and they can game the system. They know all the loopholes. They've often maybe been in the Treasury themselves, and these tax planning companies have consultations with government ministries to help write the tax code, and they will put assets in the spouse's name. They'll create an offshore trust. They'll give some money to their granddaughter, things like that. They will take a share of the profit rather than the salary, and they will end up paying less than the average person. There was a bit of £13 billion pound surplus. I mean, having said that, that's despite having borrowed. So His Majesty's government spending about £1.1 trillion per annum. It's about 50% of the national income. The UK's obviously got the highest ever national debt, a national debt of over 100% of annual GDP. You go back to the millennium, it was only about 25%. So now a lot of countries has got worse because of difficulties since the credit crunch. They've never really been good days back again. And then things like COVID and then the Ukraine war. But nevertheless, some of it is mishandling by the certain conservative and unionist administration. So it could have been handled an awful lot smarter. Obviously, Liz Truss made things appreciably worse in only 49 days. There's talk that will there be an early election? Remember, the latest possible date it could be held by law is January 2025. People think more likely December 2024, be 5 years after the previous one. And there's now some speculation it'll be May 2024. Remember, elections in the United Kingdom are always held on a Thursday. Elections at any level, Westminster are devolved. So I myself, I don't quite buy that it's going to be in May, though that rumour has been persistent for a few weeks now, that Sunak will call it slightly early. We'll see if there's anything of a bump in the polls for Rishi Sunak. Bringing back in Lord David Cameron as Foreign and Commonwealth Secretary has not redounded to Sunak's credit at all. People say, well, it's a sign of moderation and so on. Of course, the right of the party, the Brexiteers, loathe him and so on. And the general public associate him with austerity, but he's a relative moderate, seen as a safe pair of hands. But it was still never a little bit inexpedient to bring him back, methinks. So it's not exactly a budget. But what would you do with that £13 billion? Pay off some of the national debt? More money for the NHS. There have been things like they're actually raising the national pension, keeping the triple lock, which I think is a fantastic thing. But remember, Conservatives rely heavily on older voters. And the age at which you become more likely to vote Conservative than Labour last time was 47. Whereas if you're 18, the chance you'll vote Conservative is something like 5%, bearing in mind that most 18-year-olds don't bother to vote full stop. And if they do, they would lean heavily towards Labour, the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, SNP, really anything but Conservative. So that's why the Conservatives, frankly, for electoral reasons, don't care over much about undergraduates or people age 18 who are working. Cephalological calculation would lead the Conservatives to want to actuate older people to vote for them. Now, obviously, there are fewer older people than there are 18-year-olds because people start to die off and just take up people aged 80. There were few people alive in the country born in the year when they were born. But because the Conservatives are slated to do very badly next time, rather than 47 being tipping point, probably be more like 57. Remember, turnout is much lower amongst the young. So Labour's stumbling block is they can't actuate people who are Labour inclined to actually cast their ballots for them. There are too many armchair supporters of Labour who don't bother to vote at all. I could have spent more money on the armed forces, especially in view of the Ukraine situation. I'm not sure. Transport, all sorts of things, maybe more public sector pensions to stave off strikes. What would I spend it on? Probably, if I had to put it all into one thing, probably the armed forces. One thing with the NHS you could have done is I thought, well, we'll find a country the cost of healthcare is not very high, like India or Romania, and to clear the backlog, the millions of people on the waiting lists, we will fly you to wherever and you'll get your operation appointment there. Pay for your flight and hotel. And that might actually be cheaper than doing it here in the United Kingdom. So what do you think? So it's not a bad budget. It's not a fantastic one either. Obviously, every department wants more money. Nobody wants to pay more tax. Such is the conundrum of politics. How are you going to square that circle? Thank you so much for watching. And so on Patreon, please subscribe and please donate on PayPal. All right, everybody. Good night.